Tonight, sure, we're going to be discussing a topic that for many people is very touchy. One of the head workers in the CRC said it's amazing. There's two areas of kashrut where people get very, very upset when you try to ask for things. One is coffee, and one is alcohol. Everything else we're okay with. You can't eat this meat, okay. But when you try to get around, try to mess with coffee and scotch, you get into trouble. So tonight, sure, we're going to be discussing the kashrus of most scotches, and we're going to be focusing on specifically those scotches that say on it, clearly right on the sherry cask, what halachic, if at all, issues does it present. Again, like every shiur we give here, especially this shiur, because again, as we mentioned earlier, one should consult with their own rav exactly what they should do or shouldn't do, but we're going to try to work tonight through some of the issues that come up with the sherry cask scotches and see what are some of the potential problems. There's a terrific sefer, it's about 118 pages, I suggest everyone goes online and looks at it. It's now in a PDF form, about 118 pages, by a fellow who was at that time a member of the Chicago Community Kollel. Now he's part of the CRC, a fellow named Rabbi Akiva Niehaus. He wrote a terrific, it's not even an article, it's a sefer, all about this issue. And he did a lot of extensive work, both halachically and in the factories. So he was a very big source of information for dealing with this issue. Many of those who lecture on this topic use his material, so we should give him the credit that he deserves. And it's worth it when we get to the end of this year to look at what he says when we get to the numbers to see at the end of the day, does it work out or doesn't it work out? A little bit of a background information. The way scotch is made today, scotch has a couple of rules in order for it to be real scotch. Rule number one is it has to be made in Scotland. If you make it in America, it's not real scotch. In order to be real scotch, it has to be made A, in Scotland, B, it has to be distilled, and it has to be left to age for a minimal amount of 3 years. That's the way the scotch has to be made to have a din scotch. Now, what the issue of tonight's shiur is not particular the kashrus of it. The ingredients that go into your average scotch is not debatable. There's nothing treif about it. What goes in to make your average type of scotch? Basically, what goes into it is some water, barley, yeast, and a caramel coloring. None of those things present any halachic issue als kashrus. You want to know exactly how they make scotch? You can go online, you can Google it. There's pictures, there's video, all the details you want. In his book, he actually goes through this, but today, with there's really no need for it. You can watch it yourself, how exactly they make scotch from the beginning to end. It's a very, very interesting process of how they take barley, and from that they end up with scotch. In any case, the actual content of the scotch is not a problem. It's not a kashrus issue. There's nothing else that they're allowed to put in, so that's not the problem. So what's the whole tumult? What's the whole big discussion about the kashrus of scotch? So basically, the issue is not the actual schnapps itself, but the way it's stored. What happens? We mentioned earlier that in order for a scotch to be considered a scotch, it has to be stored in a barrel for at least 3 years. We all know the longer it stores, the more expensive it is. That means it must be better. Now, where exactly are these scotches being stored? So they actually changed in history, which is why the halacha might have changed. Many people, you ask them, is this scotch kosher? He says, of course, I remember my Zayde used to drink it. My father used to drink it, it must be kosher. Now, the truth is that might not be completely wrong. It might have been kosher at that time, and then later in history changed. Why would it have changed? Just a little bit of the background. They used to use, where would they get these big, what they call casks, to store the scotch in? So they used to borrow it or buy it off of the sherry companies. S-H-E-R-R-Y. Sherry is a wine. So we have a rule, stam yainum of a guy is asr, asr mit rabbanan. So what happened was when sherry used to make their wine in Spain, what they used to do is they'd make the wine in Spain, they wouldn't bottle it in Spain, they'd bottle it in England. Now, how are you going to get all this wine to England to be bottled? So they put it in these big casks, store the wine there, and then send it to England. So now when they finally got to England, they had all these leftover casks. What are you going to do with all these casks? So the scotch companies decide, oh, let's use them. We'll take these big barrels and we'll put our scotch in there, and this way we'll save money, time, and effort about where to store our scotch. That's what used to happen.
Why not reuse it? They can't reuse it.
What, the sherries?
Yeah.
I guess some of them could. Well, for example, with bourbon, you're not allowed to reuse a bourbon cask. Interesting rule. So bourbon is one time they have to get rid of it. So bourbon, you're always getting a fresh cask, so bourbon is not included in this question. Now, when you buy a scotch, you don't always know what it was stored in. You don't know if it was stored in a bourbon casket, which in that case is not a problem, or if it was stored in a sherry cask. Now, what happened was, this used to be the process up until the 1990s. In the 1990s, everything changed. Which means if your grandfathers were drinking scotch in the 1970s, there was one issue. Then in the 1990s, things changed. What happened? That was all till 1970. Came along in 1970, they decided, you know what? We don't need this anymore. We're going to start bottling our wine here. And we don't need these big casks anymore. So the scotch companies are all out of loss. Where are we going to get our casks from? So they decide, you know, we'll use bourbon casks. No problem, we'll switch over to bourbon casks. So bourbon casks have no problem because bourbon is no machalos and sewers in it, no problem. What happened was that enough years went by, the average purchaser of scotch said, hey, that doesn't taste the same. We could tell the difference. So they went back in the 1990s to using the sherry casks again. That's where we're holding right now, where many of the scotches are stored in these sherry casks. Now, why does that present a problem? Because sherry is a non-kosher wine. It's not under any hashgacha. It's stam yenam. Average guy wine that's involved by a guy is not usable. It's a derabbanan. So what? So if the wine is stored in these big casks, that's what the sherry cask means. It's stored first. You store the wine in these casks. They empty out the wine and they put the schnapps in it. So again, you'll say, so what's the problem? So the problem is that normally we have a rule in taruvas, bas b'chav, and all these things, that the only way to have a problem of what we call bleus, absorption, the only way things are absorbed is through heat. So if there's no heat over here, everything is cold. But there's one exception to the rule. There's something called kavush, and that's what we need to start off with over here. The first issue over here is because these barrels or these casks sit for many, many years absorbing the taste of the sherry. Even when you pour the sherry out and pour the scotch into it, so what happens is the scotch then absorbs the bleus of sherry. Sherry's machal iser, so it's bleus davar iser. So now your scotch is filled up with bleus ha iser. That's the beginning of the halachic problem with sherry casks. Now, as we'll see if we get to the end of the shiur, not all scotches use sherry casks. The cheaper ones definitely do not use sherry cask. So, if you're only drinking the higher-end scotches, you might have a problem. If you're drinking the lower-end scotches, you're okay. Bourbon doesn't have this problem either, because bourbon can't reuse their casks. So, it's not a problem with the bourbon. It's predominantly a problem with the higher-end scotches that are aged for many, many years, and they write on it, sherry cask. They're going to write it, because they're charging it for more, so they're going to write it. We'll see later, if we don't get to it, it's worth noting, the consensus of the rabbinic opinions of today between the Star K and the CRC is if it doesn't say on it clearly sherry cask, you don't have to assume it was in a sherry cask. It's a Suffolk Drabonin, you can go to Kula. You don't have to assume it was. Again, if they write sherry cask in it, that's when the shaila comes up. What do you do in such a case? So let's start together. The first source is a Gemara in Pesachim Daf Ayin Vav. Same Gemara is found in Chulin. The Gemara says like this: Da'omah Shmuel Molech Harehu Koreseach. Even though we have a principle, that the only way for blias to go from one area to another, or for treif to become a problem, or a basar and chalav, is only when there's heat. There's two exceptions. One is salted. If two things are salted next to each other on top of each other, or kavush. If something is marinated, if something sits and gets marinated in a sauce and two things get sit together, then you run into a problem with hareu kimavushal. It's like it's being cooked. So here also, when the sherry sits in this cask for years, so it absorbs, even though there's no heat, it absorbs what we call the bleus, it gets bleus of the treifa wine, now gets into the walls. Then when you put the schnapps in it for 3 years, or at least 3 years, it reabsorbs all those bad bleus. So when you're drinking that cup of schnapps, what you're really drinking is schnapps that are laced with bleus iser of sherry wine. That's the starting point of the problem. Okay, now, there might be a very, very easy way out of this entire problem. Is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah like this: Ibayilhu. The Gemara Lama Gimel Abayit Avodah Zarah number 2. The Maamar Kaimis asks the following question: Ma ulitan l'seicha sheicher? Am I allowed to use a wine barrel that had yayin nesach in it, or for our shear, it's yayin stam? Maybe there was no Avodah Zarah involved, but regular wine. It was cleaned out, and now I want to put beer in it, kosher beer. So the Gemara asks in Avodah Zarah, are you allowed to do such a thing? So the Gemara says: Rav Nachman, Rav Yehuda Asri, v'Rav Ashari. Rava permits it. Then the Gemara tells us a story that Rava permitted it, and someone made a mistake, and he said, oh, the same way you're allowed to put beer in a pre-used wine for non-kosher wine, I'm going to put my wine in, which was wrong. But the Gemara says, you're allowed to put beer into a barrel that was once previously used for wine. The question is why? Why are you allowed to do this? So the assumption of many of the Paiskim and the Taz, one of them, is because we have a principle called Noitzein Tam Lifka. One of the major rules, and this year is going to scan a big, large scope of a lot of Basa B'chalav and Taruvas in one short evening. But one of the rules are when dealing with Blias or Tam, there's something called Noisin Tam Lefkam. That means if the Tam gets ruined by these things that are in the wall, it doesn't make it a problem. So therefore, the Taz says that when you take beer and you put it in a barrel of wine, so what happens? So the Blias of the wine come into the beer. But that ruins it, because the combination of beer and wine is not a desired combination. So that tam that comes out of the walls that were soaked in wine now into your beer is not desirable. So it's nice and tam lufgam. It makes the tam pogum. It makes it not wanted or desired, and it's not a problem. Now the truth is, not for tonight, but really nice and tam lufgam is still awesome in Darbonon, but over here we're mekel because it's not something hot, it's only cold. But in any case, so the Gemara says that we have no problem. As long as the tam is pogum, it's not an issue. You can't put wine in a wine barrel, because wine in a wine barrel will make it better. If you take your kedem wine and put it in a barrel that has sherry wine, so the two wines are the same taste, they would enhance it. That would be a problem. So the Gemara says beer is not a problem. If you look in Shulchan Aruch number 3, the Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Lamed Zayin Dal is even more clear. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Kelim Asurim Achmas Yayin Shogayim. Those Kelim that were Asur because they had Goyishim wine in it, Mutter Litin L'Teichim, you're allowed to put in their Bein Mayim, you're allowed to put water in there, Bein Sheikha, you're allowed to put beer in there, Bein Shar Mashkim. Any other beverage. Now the Gemara didn't say any other beverage. The Gemara was talking about a beer. But the Mechaber expands on that and says not only beer, but water and other beverages. Uvulvad, but sheyadiach betchila l'chluchei hayayin, you have to make sure you wash it out well. Sha'alpnei hakein, which I'm sure the companies before they buy these sherry casks or whatever they do, I'm sure they rinse it out well to get rid of any mamoshes of the wine. So what are we dealing with? We're dealing just with absorption, bleeders in the wall. Says the Shulchan Aruch, that's not a problem. So then what's the whole shir about? Shulchan Aruch says, you're allowed to put any other beverage besides for wine in a barrel that was previously used for non-kosher wine. What? Ah, that's where the problem is. All the other beverages that the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara talked about is always because there's going to be pogum. If you took Coca-Cola and you put it in a sherry cask, it would ruin the Coca-Cola. It would be a bad combination, sherry and Coke. But what happens when you put schnapps or scotch with the sherry? That's not lipgam. That's preferred. Haraya, that's why they use sherry casks. If they didn't want it, so why would they go out of their way to spend money? Now it's actually very expensive, the sherry cask. They spend extra money to get the sherry cask because they like that combination taste of the sherry absorption with the scotch taste. So what are you going to tell me? It's lefkam? It's not true. You want it like this. So that's where the question begins.
Why would you put other beverages and beer in the cask if it's going to ruin the taste?
I guess you had no other place to put it. Yeah, again, the party, you have nowhere else to put it.
You can't drink it
afterwards. Right, so pogum doesn't mean it's not drinkable, just it doesn't make it better or good. It ruins it. It doesn't mean it's not, you can't drink it. It doesn't mean it's horrible, but you're not enjoying this combination. So over here, this is going to be a very hard point to sell, to say, no. Over here, it's the same thing. When you put the scotch into the sherry casks, it ruins it. Really? So then why do you go out of your way to get the sherry casks? It must be, it's l'shvach. So this has always been an interesting shayla before the whole sherry cask debate. This was stamazei shayla amongst gedolei achronim. What is the reaction when you have schnapps and wine? Right, we all know if you drink schnapps and wine, you get very sick. That's a bad combination. A lot of yeshiva guys learned that the hard way on Purim. Right? That's a bad drinking combination. But what happens in the world of Belias? This is very negeya because there's a Magen Avraham number 4 in Hilchos Pesach. In Hilchos Pesach, we deal with kashering these things. Again, the same issue comes up with kashering. Let's say, for example, you have a barrel. Again, today we don't use these things, but let's say you would have a barrel that you store your chametzdika beverage in. That'd be, let's say you'd have chametzdika wine. And then comes Pesach, you want to use that, so you have to kasher it. I'll tell you, what am I kashering? It's all hot. The answer is it's kovlish. Because since it was marinated in it, it gets absorbed. So what happens if you want to kasher it, not kasher it yet, but you want to use it for schnapps? So what is the reaction between schnapps and wine? We know wine and anything else is pogum. What about wine and yayin sarf, which we today call whiskey? So the Magen Avraham writes in number 4. Zakti Magen Avraham, umashim v'chumas ha-deshin sham, shechovi yishal yayin sarf. Let's say you had a barrel full of schnapps. Afa bish eina ben yoyim, even though it's not the same day. Aser hakoil, that would prohibit it. The einenu ra'ayt, our eyes see, shenoysen tam l'shvachu, that it's a good combination. So the Magen Avraham assumes without a doubt that when you combine wine and schnapps, that's a good combination. That's not a pagam. That's not pogam. That doesn't ruin the taste. So therefore, if you hold like this Magen Avraham, you can't apply the heter of the Shulchan Aruch. You can't say, well, it's okay for me to store my scotch in the sherry casks because it's pogum the taste. No, it's not. It's not pogum the taste. You want the taste. It's l'shevach, says the Magen Avraham. So according to this Magen Avraham, we would not be allowed to use the taste, the heter of this mechaber and Shulchan Aruch, and we'd still be in trouble. Now, not everyone agrees to that. The Noidi Bihuda, at least in one place in the Tshuva, he says not like that. Noidi Bihuda says in one place that it's pogum. When wine comes into contact with scotch, it ruins the taste, and it's pogum. So if it's pogum, so you have the heter of the Shulchan Aruch. Reb Shlomo Miller, a big poisek in Toronto, he makes an interesting argument. He wants to say maybe not. He wants to say maybe really, he wants to say maybe what goes on over here is when you, why do the companies choose sherry casks? It's not because of the taste, because of the smell. It's the smell that gets imbued into the scotch. That smell of sherry cask, of sherry, is what people want. Not the taste. And he says, Reichoi lav milsihi. We have a premise in halacha that fragrance doesn't count. So he wants to make the argument that maybe, since over here it's not so much the taste is what you want, but really you want the smell. So if you want the smell of the sherry into the scotch, that wouldn't be a problem, and therefore he thinks maybe it would be okay. It gets complicated with Pesach and all those things about smell over there. But he wants to say, at least for this, he quotes a shach, that for what we need in our sugya, that wouldn't be a problem. Now again, this is easy information to be mavar. You go on the various websites, and you go on Glenn Livet's website and all these other websites, and they talk about why do they store it in sherry casks. And they give a lot of different reasons and a lot of different sources. Is it the smell? Is it the taste? Some make the argument it's the wood that they like. It's that wood finish. So one second, if it's a wood finish, they'll use a bourbon wood cask. Why do you have to go use a sherry cask? It's a combination of everything, maybe. So it's very hard to say that you're going to use a heter of this Shulchan Aruch and say, no, it's not the taste that we're focused on, it makes it bad. It's a very hard selling point. So that would be a very, very hard point. The Minchas Yitzchak, who was one of the very few, the Minchas Yitzchak was of the very few Achrenim who actually discussed sherry cask. To my knowledge, there are three popular Achrenim who discussed sherry cask per se. One is the Minchas Yitzchak, who was a dayan for many years in England. In 1979, he became the head of the Eidah Haredis after the Satmar Rebbe died. He took over the Eidah Haredis. He speaks about sherry cask. Rebbe Menashe Klein in the Tshuva talks about sherry cask. And dayan Usher Weiss. Rebbe Usher Weiss in Milchas Usher talks about sherry cask. Now, just to make it very clear, people say Rebbe Moshe spoke about sherry cask in his Tshuva. Not true. Rebbe Moshe never wrote a Tshuva about sherry cask. Rebbe Moshe wrote a Tshuva about schnapps, which will be very relevant to sherry cask. But Rav Moshe never wrote a tshuva, at least the famous ones, was not about sherry cask. It was a tshuva written to Rabbi Teitz from JEC, from Elizabeth, New Jersey, very, very choshev yid, where him and Rabbi Teitz were having a back and forth in three tshuvas about not sherry casks. They were talking about mixing wine into schnapps. That's what Rav Moshe was discussing with Rabbi Teitz. But there was no discussion in those tshuvas about the sherry cask issue. Now, from those tshuvas, we'll be able to apply it to sherry cask. But of those people who discussed sherry cask per se, is, to my knowledge, I found the Minchas Yitzchak talks a lot about it, Rebbe Menashe Klein, and Rebbe Usher Weiss. So if you look over here, number 5, Minchas Yitzchak, in his tshuva, where he discusses it, he rejects this. He says, what are you talking about? You're going to tell me that sherry cask would not a problem because it's nice and tam lefkam? You don't want that combo, says the Minchas Yitzchak. It's not true. We all know the reason why the companies go out and buy sherry casks, which today are very expensive, is because they want that taste of the wine imbued in the walls. They want it. So you can't tell me it's today nice and time of calm. He doesn't think it's a het. So that's not going to help us get around the problem of sherry cask bleus, because that's very hard to believe. Now, one can ask, this whole sugya shouldn't be a problem. Because we have a principle that when is time a problem? Tam is only a problem if it's what's called a ben yoma. It's within the same 24 hours of when it happened. Right? That's why whenever you have a shayla with bas b'chalv questions, the always question always is, whenever you go to the rabbi, he's always going to ask you, when was the last time you used it? Well, why does it matter? When was the last time I used it, right? Well, what did I eat for supper? It doesn't matter. The answer is it does matter. Because the rules of bleus are very controlled by this premise of being a ben yoma. It was used within 24 hours, or what's called an eina ben yoma, it wasn't used within 24 hours. Why does this matter? Because we have an idea that bleus, things that get absorbed after 24 hours, become stale, pogum. Within 24 hours, they're still fresh. After 24 hours, they become ruined. So then I don't understand the whole problem over here. Let's say they were stored in the sherry cask for 10 years. So then they dump it out. Presumably, they don't use it within 24 hours, especially when they were shipping it back from England until it came back to Scotland. It's got to be more than 24 hours. So it's already ain't a ben yoma. So what are you worried about?
But if something maintains its taste or
Okay, good. So normally we say if it's an ein ben yoma, it's not such a problem. So over here, why don't we say all the sherry casks are ein ben yoma? So the moment you put the scotch into the sherry cask, you're putting it into an ein ben yoma bleus. So what are we so worried about? The answer is wine is the exception to that rule. If you look over here, in number 6, the Rama writes in Kuf Lamed Zayin that when it comes to wine, we don't have this leniency of ein ben yoma. Zog the Rama, ubekelim asur mishum yayin nesach. Any keli that's a problem because of yayin nesach, bein shehem bin yoman, whether they were used within 24 hours, oiloi, it doesn't matter. Why not? Writes to Shachar number 7, dafilu ein ben yoman asurim. Why? What happened to the good old fashioned rule of being ben yoma? Says the Shach, I'll tell you the difference. Because wine gets better as it ages. So therefore, it's not that the taste gets stale with time, it gets actually better. And therefore, says the Shach, that's why wine, even though it's an Eina Ben Yoima, will still present a problem. So that's also not going to help us bypass the sherry problem, because it's an Eina Ben Yoima, so what? Wine is the exception to the Eina Ben Yoima rule. So now we're still stuck.
Why don't we say Batol
Vashishim? We're going to get to that. We're going to try that, and then we're going to see if the numbers work out. So again, we're at this point, unless you assume like some of the other opinions, we're going to have to come on to some form of Batol. We're stuck. We have no other way around. Unless you want to argue on the Magen Avraham and you want to say that when wine combines with schnapps, it's nice and tam lefgam, which again would be a very hard selling point, but if you want to say that, so then sherry cask is not even a question. But let's say you go like the Magen Avraham. So then how are we going to get around sherry casks? So the easy way out is, no problem, we'll come onto the family of bittel. Bittel is a very popular idea. We could somehow be mevatel the isser. In order to figure out to be mevatel the isser, we have to figure out how much isser is there here. Again, these big casks sit with sherry non-kosher wine in them. Now when you empty it, so how much bleis are there? How much gets absorbed into the cask?
You can do that with l'chatchila
anyway. That's a bigger problem. What happened to e'mevatelness l'chatchila? So we're going to see, Rav Moshe dealt with that heavily. Him and Rabbi Teitz had a big argument about that, about e'mevatelness l'chatchila. But let's first figure out how much bleis do we have to talk about? How much gets absorbed? So there's a very interesting shach over here, number 8. The Shach writes, number 8, quoting the Sefer Issa V'Heter, who says like this, let's say you have a piece of meat, flesh, a good old-fashioned piece of steak that marinated in a kli. Right? You had your steak and you want to marinate it overnight, so you leave it in some form of a sauce, it sits in your pot, then you wake up the next morning, you realize, oh, I put it in the wrong pot. I put it in the milchik pot, I put it in the parva pot, it's not a flesh sugar pot. What's the status of the kli? So Zok the Shach, quoting the Issa V'Heter, Vaday afa kli also b'dieved. The kli also becomes a meat kli. V'tzarech shishim neged kulay. And now if you want to start playing the game of bittel, you need to have 60 times k'neged the entire kli itself. Not just a small part of the kli, you need to have 60 times k'neged the whole kli. Which means in our sugya, you have to have 60 times more schnapps than the entire cask. That's the opinion of the Shach. Right? The scotch is kosher. So 60 times, you're going to have bittel b'shishim, you have to have 60 times more than the entire volume of the cask. That's the opinion of the Shach. Now, the Taz disagrees. This is a very, very important...
The cask, not the isser.
Right, well, because you assume the isser gets balua in the entire cask. So you have to figure that those bleis went everywhere.
There's a volume.
Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. That's why I suggest everyone goes on his article. He breaks down the numbers much better than I could, and he crunches the numbers of volume and density. He goes through all those numbers of how he came to his conclusion.
Why can you measure the amount of liquid going in at the beginning and the amount of liquid coming out?
Right, so he talks about this, because it's not always
it's
so simple.
Because
right, sometimes it gets more... Because there are ways of how to figure out the volume of these things, but he says with a big 500 liter thing, it's a little harder to figure it out. So if again, this is where I suggest everyone look themselves on how he, in one of the later pages, he goes through the math of it. We'll get to that hopefully later tonight. But before that, let's assume like this Shach. The Shach assumes you need to have 60 times the entire dimension of the kli. Now this is one of the, they're going to be tonight, two very important machlokes Shach and Taz. Now we have to know, whenever we have a machlokes Shach and Taz, who wins? So generally, machlokes Shach and Taz, Allah is like the Shach. Why is that? So Rav Shechter quotes from Rav Salvechi that when he started to learn Yaradei with the Talmidim, he told them a rule. The rule is, Machlok Yishach and Taz, the Taz always loses. Machlok Yishach and Avram and Taz, the Taz always loses. And then he says, when you get to Chosh Mishpah, the Taz doesn't even make it to the front side of the page. So Rav Salvechik said, what's up, Shat? What happened to the Taz? It doesn't exist anymore. So he said, over a Maisa. He said he heard it from his father, that when the Shach, the Taz was much, much older than the Shach. And when the Shach wrote his Sefer, part of his Sefer was arguing on the Pesachim of the Taz. And when the Shach came to get Haskama for his Sefer, he went to the Taz and the Taz wouldn't hear of it. He wouldn't sign off on it, he can't publish such a Sefer. There was a ban. You had to get Haskama, you had to get Rishus to sign off. So they said, as a Einish min HaShemayim, for not being forthcoming, we're not going to follow the opinions of the Taz. This is what Rav Shechter quotes for Rav Salvechik. And he says, that's why he doesn't even bother learning the Shittas of the Taz. He doesn't even spend time pulling on the Taz. We don't pass him like the Taz. We always go like the Shach. So he says, when he used to give Shi, we don't only focus on whatever the Shach says. Whatever the Taz says is irrelevant. We don't pass him like it. So, following that rule, which tonight we're going to see follows 50% of the time, not always, there's always a good exception. Tonight's going to be one of them. But in this machlok, this is one of the first issues, is the machlok Shach and Taz. According to the Shach, which we're supposed to follow generally, at least in Yeridea, you need to have 60 times the amount of the entire kli. The Taz disagrees. And the Taz says you don't need so much. You only need kdei klipa, the first peel of the entire kli. And that's obviously much, much less than what the shach requires. So this would be a great time for us to go like the Taz, not like the shach, right? If you go like the shach, it's going to be a very hard sell to get 60 times more than the entire thickness of the kli. If you go like the Taz, you just need kdei klipa. You just need one small peel. It would be much easier. So this is machlokes number one between the Taz and the shach. Now the problem is that the shach has a little bit of a kasha on himself. For example, look at number 9. The mechaber in number 9 is talking about how do you kasher a yayin nesech barrel. You have a barrel, a cask, that had sherry in it. Let's say you want to kasher it. What would you do to kasher it? So the mechaber says, afilu b'machnisa l'kiyim, even if this cask had wine there to stay there, einu b'leya yoyse mechtei chlipa. The most it absorbs is that first level that you could peel. The fichach, therefore, says the Shochanech, if you want to kasher it, it's very easy to kasher it. Just peel the first layer of the barrel, and you kasher it. That's all you need to do. So one second, we have a kasher. If you're able to kasher just the first level, because that's only that's how far it gets absorbed, why does the shach say the whole kli gets absorbed? How does the shach read this mechaber? The mechaber says very clearly that the only part that gets absorbed is kdei klipa. So why does the shach say? So the Taz says, it's a beautiful right to me. Says the Taz, you see from the Shulchan Aruch Mefurish, that when you're dealing with Blias Yayin, it's only Kedei Klipa. And that's why you only need a Kasher Kedei Klipa, and that's why you only have to calculate 60 times Kedei Klipa. Much easier. But the Shach says, no, don't bring me, it's not a Kasher. The Shach at number 10 says, no, you misunderstood this Mechaber. This Mechaber is talking about a case of where it's Suffolk Kavush. You weren't sure if you left the wine in for 20 hours or 24 hours. Then the Mechaber says you can get away with the klipa. But if you know the sherry wine or the non-kosher wine was in the barrel for 2 days, of course you need to have 60 times the whole kli. That's how the shach gets out of it. It's an akimta. If you don't believe in the shach's akimta and you read the Mechaber the way we have it, so it comes out that according to the Mechaber and according to the Taz, you only need to do bittel up to kidei klipa, which is obviously much less than shisha. Okay. So now, assuming like that, now, in this machloikis shach and taz, the assumption is that we go like the shach, which means you have to be concerned that the entire kli absorbed the blias, not only one small part of it. Now, not everyone agrees to that either. There were some very, very chashuva people that held like the taz. Now, this is very, very important. If you hold like the taz, that's only kedei klipa, then all our scotches are bottled. Nothing to talk about. For sure, kedei klipa. So if you're willing to say that I drink sherry cask today because I pass like this Taz over the shach because the Taz has a mechaber to back him up, next time you're at a kiddush and you're talking over the bottle, tell the guy this pshat. Why are you drinking sherry cask? Because I hold like the Taz against the shach because there's a mechaber that backs him up. Right? I guarantee he's not going to come back to you at the next kiddush, but in any case, that's the answer. The answer is you hold like the Taz connected to the shach. Now there are some very chashuv people that pass like the Taz. The Chazon Ish paskin like the Taz. The Chacham Tzvi paskin like the Taz. So this is not so far-fetched. If you hold like the Taz, you're okay. If you hold like the Taz, you have to take a clip, you're good to go. Okay. The problem is not everyone. And they asked Reb Heinemann from the start, he says, what do you mean? Chalik Yishach and Taz. We go like the Shach. We have a Kabbalah. We go like the Shach. So if you go like the Shach, so you're stuck. You can't use the Taz. I, the Chazon Ish, do it also. But okay, there are exceptions to the rule. That's Achloik is number one between the Shach and the Taz. That's saving grace number one. Why? People, so if you're an Einikol from the Taz, you can drink sherry cask without a problem because you have your Kedei Klipa. Okay, so let's try it one more. Let's try another possible Heter. Number 12 is another possible Heter. We all know there's a principle that you could be Mevatel.
Physically have to do the Kedei
Klipa? No, that's if you want to kasher. That's if you want to kasher. But that's how much Blias are there, which means how much Issa there is. So you need to have, assume 60 times that peel. How much is that? That's definitely more schnapps than that. So you're okay. You have bittel, you're okay. What happened to Eimavatel Nesilachat Chilut? We'll have to get to that later. But that's the easy way out of it. Now let's try another way to get out of this problem. Is that we know that there's a thing called bittel. Whenever you have Machalas or Sirus, we always have bittel. The general number that we usually use is what we call bittel b'shishim, 60 times. There's actually an interesting exception to that rule. Wine, or Yain Nesich, or Stam Yain is the exception. For example, let's say, for example, you have non-kosher wine, and you want to dilute it to the point where you should be able to drink it. So you don't need to have a 1 to 6, 60 to 1 ratio. It's a 1 to 6 ratio. Different numbers. Says the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch, number 12. Kama yihye b'mayim v'yeh b'hem k'tei levatal tam yayin. How much water do you need to mix into wine to take away from the tam? Shisha chalokim kenegdan. 6. Not 60. 6. Much lower number. 6. V'chol sheyesh b'mayim k'shir hazeh. As long as you have 6, mutter b'shtiyah, you'd be allowed to then go and drink this wine. Okay.
This
sounds like almost even lechatchila, right? So now, if you can assume that there's more... So again, let's look at the barrel situation. So there's presumably more than 1-6 ratio of schnapps than the sherry. There's no sherry here, right? There's no mamoshes. We're talking about plius. So let's assume there's more so you don't have a problem. Comes along the shach and shatters all our dreams. Says the shach, not so fast. Number 13, kasav isiv heter. Tafka yayin nesach b'mayim. No. This is only water with wine. Avol b'yayin oy b'tavshil. But any other concoction, beverage, or food, shemashvichay, where it makes it enhance when you have wine, vaday aser hakol at shishim. You go back to the rule of shishim. So according to the shach, schnapps is not going to help us. It's not mayim. So we're back to the problem. We won't be able to use the 1-6 ratio. We're going to have to use the good old-fashioned 1-60 ratio according to the shach. Again here, the task comes to defend. And the task says, I disagree. The task says it's not true. I hold that schnapps is also like water. And therefore you also can use the 1-6 ratio. So again, we have another machloikis, taz and shach. Now here, the Taz has another good raya. What's the Taz's raya? For number 14. The Mechaber writes that you're not allowed to buy certain beverages from a guy because you always have to suspect that the guy poured some wine into it. Again, you're not buying wine. You're buying a non-wine beverage. But always suspect he tried to make it cheaper by putting some wine in it. Says the Ramah, unless you know the 60 times the amount of wine he could put in. Frek the Taz, 60? What happened to the 1-6 ratio? Well, right? Why do you need 60? So Zok the Taz, this mechaber is shalai alib de hilchasa. This mechaber that says you need 1-60 shalai alib de hilchasa. Because we really passed in that other beverages are also bottled 1-6. So this is where the Taz argues on the shach and says, I disagree. I hold all beverages, schnapps, coke, everything, all 1-6 ratio. So we have another machloikis Taz in the shach. The shach says, no, fakert. This mechaber is a raya that you're wrong. This mechaber is a raya that all other beverages don't go 1-6, only water goes 1-6. Why does water go 1-6? So many Rishonim learn the pshat is because wine loses its potency when added to water, even a small amounts of water, and it's no longer called water. It's called kea. It's an acid. It's not geshmak anymore. It's nothing. It loses the chalois shem yayin, even with the small amounts of water added to it. So again, this is our very second important machloikis taz and shach. Again, according to the shach, if you want to be mevatel schnapps up against yayin, you're going to have to go 1-60. According to the taz, it's 1-6. So again, Taz l'shitas, if you're a Taznik, you're good. You don't even have to worry about sherry cask. If you're a Shach person, you're in trouble. This machloik is Taz and Shach. Everyone all of a sudden sides with the Taz. The Mechas Yitzchak over here writes in number 16 that the Magen Avraham and the Pri Chodesh, all this the people paskin like the Taz. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that we also paskin like the Taz. So if you paskin like the Taz, then now we have at least what to talk about. If you paskin like the Taz, so you need to have a 1-6 bittel to get the yayin bottle, and if you can get the yayin bottle 1-6, we're good to go. Now, the Taz l'shitasa, you don't even need that, because you have only k'dei klipa, which is much less. But let's say you want to be choshish for the shach and the Taz, so you need to have a 6-1 ratio in order to be mevatel the yayin nesech that's in the bar. Now, Rav Moshe writes in his tshuva to Rabbi Teitz, not talking about sherry cask, he writes in his tshuva that our bal nefesh should be machmeh. Why should our bal nefesh be machmeh? Because l'maisa, we have the shach. And since the shach does say it's not 1-6, but 1-60, so Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva, Baal Nefesh should be machmir, but me'ikar adin, Rav Moshe Feinstein is of the opinion that you could be samech on the Taz, and all you need is 1-6. Now, what we need to get to tonight, if time allows us, do you even have that much? Do you even have a 1-6 ratio if you calculate the entire thickness of the kli? That's the $1 million question. Now you're telling me, I don't need the whole thickness. If I hold like the Taz, I don't need the klipa. And the answer is, you're right. If you hold like the Taz through and through, this is sherry cask is not an issue. But if you don't, you assume like the first machloikis we hold like the shach, and the second machloikis we hold like the Taz, so then you need to have 1-6 ratio connected the entire thickness of the whole cask. That's going to be the head. Belin Edel will come back to that. But before we get to that, that's the numbers we're holding right now. That you could take to a math expert and take a big sherry cask, crunch the numbers and see if that works. But there's a bigger problem. One of the bigger problems are not everything in the world is subjected to the rules of Bittel. There are many exceptions. One such exception is the Ramon Shulchan Aruch, number 18. The Rama writes that if, let's say, you add a non-kosher spice to a dish, you find some crazy spice and it's not kosher, and you throw it onto your chalent. So I say, but yeah, it's bottle. It's one. It says 60. It's shishim. It's such a small, minute thing. Says Rama, no, it's not true. Even though it's very small, but it's there letama. It's there to enhance the taste. You can't tell me it's bottle. What does bottle mean? It doesn't exist. Of course it exists. Every time you're spooning the chalent, you're tasting it. Ah, I'm tasting that spice. Writes the Rama on Shulchan Aruch that avalim noisim tam ba'isa kadeira. But if the thing that you put into the dish gives tam, v'hu aser misad asma, it itself is intrinsically prohibited. Afilu be'elav lo bottle. Even 1,000 times it's not bottle. Kol zman shemargish in tam. As long as you're margish, you can tell the taste. The feet, the chains, Dr. Ramo, Melech, the tavlin. If you have non-kosher salt and non-kosher spices, Davidi letaimoi. If they're also, they can't become bottle. So right away, this presents a problem. Even if the numbers work on your side, how can you tell me that the tam of the sherry wine is bottle? I want that. It's there to enhance my scotch. If it's there to enhance my scotch, how does it become bottle? This is a very, very big problem. So one of the ways they want to get around it is they say again. It's not there for taste. So why do they use sherry casks? The color. If you notice, the higher end scotches have a different color than the, so to say, lower end scotches. What's the difference in the color? It might be the sherry cask might give it its color. So they want to say, no, we don't use sherry casks for the taste. We use sherry for the color. Ah, so that's okay. It's not avida l'taima. But again, if you'll go online and you'll read all the various scotch organizations, they're all over the place about what exactly is the purpose of the sherry cask. Is it latam? Is it laboth? Is it for this? It's not clear. Yeah.
This is, we pasca these things, it's not subjective, right? It's objective beside. You can't say for one guy, I want the tam.
No, yeah. It's guy, right, right. It's, you have to really know why they're doing it. If you go into their, you go on their websites, Glenlivet and these other, the big ones, you go on their website and you ask them why they're doing it, so they'll give you a lot of different answers. And the Sefer, he writes, he quotes some of these organizations, and some say, no, we don't care for the taste, we care for the color. And others say, no, we care for the combination of wood plus this. They'll give you all these you know, shtickle tire. So it's really hard to know at the end of the day what exactly is coming out of the sherry casks.
But in the Ramah's case,
yeah,
if I took two glasses of scotch, one that came out of a sherry cask and one that did not, and I could not tell the difference.
Very good. So that's going to be, we're going to see that's one of the tainas that some of the later Acharonim had. For example, Menachas Yitzchak, Dayan Yitzchak has this issue, and Dayan Weiss, Abasha Weiss also says, come on, it's not recognizable enough. You're not going to be able to, when you're tasting the schnapps, you're not going to say, I'm tasting sherry. It's not true. So that's one of his big tainas. That's one of his big reasons why he thinks it's not a problem at all, because he says it's not true. You're not really tasting it. Something like a melach, something like a spice, that stands out. That you could tell, it's recognizable. But he says something like that, you're not going to be able to tell. You're not going to say, I'm tasting the sherry that's in the cask. It's not happening. So that's why he doesn't think it's a problem. So Rav Moshe, in one of his tshuvas, Rav Moshe wrote three tshuvas back and forth with him and Rabbi Teitz. And Rav Moshe tainted, it's not a problem. Rav Moshe said, because once it's bottle in six, so Rav Moshe, it's no longer yain. It loses the shem yain. So what are you worried about? Well, your kasha to me was that it has tam. Well, it's not yain anymore. It becomes kea, it becomes like an acid. If it doesn't have the shem yain, so it's no longer a problem. So if it doesn't have the shem yain because it was bottle b'shisha, so it's not a problem anymore. So Rav Moshe rejected this problem. If you look over here, number 20, the Rebbe Asher Weiss from Eretz Yisrael, he makes this argument. Number 20, he says, "Harei lanu da'af mal del tam ovid." Even if, let's say, they do sherry cask for the taste, elim kein yish but tam gomer, has to be a real taste. He says, why did the Ramah pick spices? Because spices is something that everyone recognizably can taste. Aval tam kolish, but such a weak taste of sherry, ain't awesome. It's not awesome. So therefore, it says Rebbe Asher Weiss, I'm not concerned about that time. Okay? So that taina we can get around, we can say it's not such an issue. There's another way they want to get around it. They want a taina, maybe this whole problem of vidya l'taima is only a problem if you're talking about our actual food. There's no sherry here. We're talking about blias of sherry. So maybe when we're talking about blias, which is a step removed, maybe this rule of vidya l'taima doesn't apply. So that's one thing we could put on the side. There's another problem. The Mechaber writes in number 21, the Mitchaber writes that kol hamashkim shel goyim shedarkim la'arav ben yain eichemitz. If let's say you have a concoction made by a guy with yain, not kosher wine in it, but it's bottle. It's bottle by all the rules. It's bottle, but it's normal to put into it this non-kosher ingredient. Assume you're not allowed to drink it. Why not? I thought it's batal. So the Tshuva Rashba is the makar for this halacha. He says, because something that's supposed to be there can't be batal. If it's so intrinsic that every single time before they make it, they inject into the food this ingredient, what are you going to tell me it's batal? What does batal mean? It's not important. It's not significant. It's very significant. It's always put into this drink. So therefore, anything that's darke bekach, anything that's normally there, can't become batal. So here, same thing. If it's always normal to use the sherry in the drink, so how does it become batal? It's darke bekach. It's the normal way to use it. This was again a problem. So Rav Moshe Feinstein got out of this problem also. Rav Moshe said, no, not everyone agrees to this halacha. Calm down. Rav Moshe found the Ramon Shulchan Aruch that doesn't agree to this. Rav Moshe says, don't worry about it. That's also not a problem. Menachas Yitzchak gets out of it. He says, no. Because over here, there's two things that factor in. It's not just the fact that I want the taste, but it's Zev Zer Gairim. There's two things that add to it. It's the taste and the wood, it's the schnapps, it's a combination. Zev is a gairim, they're both equal components to make it work. In that case, it's not a problem. That's what he gets around this problem. One last problem is that anything that's put into for chazusa, for appearance, is also not batal. That's a Ramah, and likewise, a Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Yom Tov. Number 23, the Mechaber writes, anything that's put lechazusa, vitayma, it's there for two reasons. It's there to give it a look and a taste. It can't become batal. So again, the sherry is there for both taste and look. So if it's there for taste and look, how does it ever become batal? So the Menachas Yitzchak says, no, relax. Chazusa is not such a problem. Chazusa is only a problem if the thing itself is asa midaraisa. But when the whole thing is only the Rabbanan, again, sherry wine, if I drink a cup of sherry wine right now, I'd only be over nisa the Rabbanan. It's stam yayin. Again, no one in the sherry company is poured a favay dezara, but it's stam yayin. Stam yayin of a guy we're prohibited to drink. Why? Zero, because we may come to marry their children. That's chastos. So therefore, since the whole prohibition is on the Rabbanan, there's no problem of chazus on the Rabbanan. So that's also not a problem. Okay, so we got by those two problems. Now, what's the bigger of the list of problems? We have a principle of a mevatlin issa lechatchila. You're not allowed to go around making pitl. You're not allowed to go around cooking a pot of basa b'chalav and say, don't worry, I worked out the numbers. It's batal b'shishim. You're not allowed to do that. So how are you allowed to do it over here? How are we all allowed to drink sherry cask wine? Because we're samech on the pitl, assuming we even have the right numbers. Assuming. Let's assume like the Taz, that you have the 1-6 ratio plus the fact that it's klipa, you have the numbers. But you're not allowed to lechatchila go around doing it. What happened to the Gemara and Be'ah, halachan shulchan aruch, eim mevatel misa lechatchila?
Is that true even if you don't do it?
So that's a machloikis taz, another taz, and Kivege. And Kivege writes that what happens if you're a purchaser? You're buying it in the store. You go into the wine store and you want to buy a bottle of schnapps. So you weren't the one that was mevatled. So Kivege says, no, because since the manufacturer is doing it for you, that's the same thing as if you did it for yourself. And therefore, that would be a problem of mevatledness of lechatchila.
But for you, does it mean that they have to do it? Okay, good.
So that was the machloikis between Rabbi Taitz and Rav Moshe. So the Kvega says, if you go to the store and you buy a bottle of Glenlivet sherry cask, so even though what did you have to do with it? But since the manufacturers of the sherry cask schnapps did it for you, the purchaser, that's as if mevatel misachetchil for you. The Taz disagrees. The Taz says that's not true. They don't know who I am. They don't know where I am. They're like, it can be done for me. So Rabbi Taitz, when he was taking issue with the mixing of schnapps with wine, he tied it to Rav Moshe. Even if the numbers are right, ein mevatel misachetchil. So Rav Moshe said, what are you worried about? You think Glenfinnich is making it for the Jews? They're making it for the goyim. So what are you worried about? They're not doing it for, they're doing it for the hamoinam. The hamoinam, the majority of the nation, is not Jewish. So even if you hold like a kiveger, and Moshe says it's not even so possible, hold like a kiveger. Even if you hold like a kiveger, what are you worried about? So they did it for who? They did it for the buyer. Who's the buyer? Non-Jews. So what are you worried about? So Rabbi Taitz tied it back to Moshe. Not true. Stubbing your right, they did it for the Jews. Because they advertise in Jewish magazines. So it's Dr. Baitaitz, if they advertise a Glenfinnich in Jewish magazines. Right. So Ramesha rejected it. Ramesha held it wasn't a problem. But this is one of the very big machloikis in the three tshuvas in Yerodei Chelik Aleph. Yerodei Chelik Aleph, Simon Samach based through Samach Dal, where Ramesha and Baitaitz had this back and forth. So this was the machloikis. So Ramesha held it wasn't a problem of Atlan Isla Chathilo. And therefore, according to Ramesha, it's not a problem. The Menachas Yitzchak has another way around it. The Menachas Yitzchak says, I have another saving grace. Why can't you be Mevatel Isla Chathilo? So the Masham says, you know why? Because we're afraid you'll mess up the numbers. Okay, it's a very tricky game. You're going to go around cooking a big pot of chalent, and you're going to add a little bit of milk in it because it's going to make your chalent taste better. And you'll say, don't worry, it's under shish.
It makes it better, really, it's no pitl.
Right, that'll be the other problem, right. Well, let's say you put it in for whatever reason. So Zok to Masham, what are we worried about? What if you don't measure right? If you measure wrong, and it's not shishim, we got ourselves a problem. That's why you're not allowed to go around doing lechatchila. So Taina the Minchas Yitzchak. So what are you worried about by Scotch? You think the Scotch company is going to make a mistake in how much sherry they put in? They're not foolish. They don't want it to taste like sherry wine. No one's going to buy Glenfiddich sherry cask if it tastes like sherry wine. So they're going to be very careful to the amounts. So if they're very careful to the amount that goes in, there's no chash of emivat on the lechatchila. And therefore, he says it's not a problem of emivat on the lechatchila. So that's also not a problem. Okay, so what are we left with? We're left with the very, very important question, do the numbers work out? Is there at least a 1 to 6 ratio of schnapps to the thickness of the entire kli or not? So before we get to that, let's just mention those that are somewhat matir, the so to say sherry casks. For example, Dain Weiss, Minchas Asher, Basha Weiss writes a tshuva where he says he sees absolutely no problem. And he's important because he's the most recent. All the other tshuvas that were written were much older. The Minchas Yitzchak's tshuva was written in the 40s or the 60s, I don't remember. But Minchas Asher was very recent. Minchas Asher, if you have a chance to read through it, he says he sees absolutely no problem. Sherry casks are completely mutter. So if you want to know who signs off on sherry casks, so one of them is Dain Weiss of Meretz Yisrael. Menashe Klein has an interesting tshuva. Someone asked Menashe Klein that the halacha is if you eat Yai Nesach, you're supposed to fast, you're supposed to do this whole kapara. So he wants to know if you drink sherry cask scotch, do you have to do all this? So Menashe Klein says, relax, you don't have to do it, it's also okay. So he says, I understand those who want to be machban sherry cask, but I think make red, then you don't have to. So we have Menashe Klein, and according to Rabbi Akiva Niehaus, he says that he thinks Rabbi Shlomo Miller is also on board, Me'ikar Adin, to be matir, the sherry casks. Those are all the matir. Now, here's the million-dollar question. Do the numbers work out? Do you have bittel 1 to 6 ratio of the entire kli? And if you go look it up, don't trust me because I'm not very good with numbers, but he writes in his sefer, Rabbi Niehaus, he says you do not. It's not a 1 to 6 ratio of scotch in an average cask if you're going to calculate like the shach, the entire thickness of the kli. It's close, but it's not 1 to 6. So he concludes, based on this, that if you're going to present the sugi the way we did, and you're going to be choshish for all the chumras, you would not be allowed to drink sherry cask scotch, because you don't have the 1 to 6 bittel that's required, according 1 to 6 of the full kli, according to the shach. That was the conclusion that he reached in his sefer, based on the numbers. How he came to that, I suggest you all go and look up the numbers. There's a beautiful chart on how he measured the big barrels, and how he measured everything, and he crunches the numbers, and he says the numbers don't work out. So, putting aside the opinion of Dain Weiss and the opinion of Menashe Klein and possibly the opinion of Reb Shlomo Miller, these achrayim all are of the opinion that if the bottle says clearly on its sherry cask, it presents a halachic issue. Now, if it does not say sherry cask on it, you don't have to assume it is a sherry cask. You can assume it's not a problem and you can drink it without any issue. However, to know for sure, it's always hard, but the blended scotches are for sure not a problem. All the Johnny Walker family are blended. The blended are not a problem because they come from a bunch of different casks. So even if they have a little bit from a sherry cask, it's for sure going to be bottled. So, halach l'maisa, again, without possibly what to do, if it is a vade sherry cask, but if it doesn't say sherry cask in it, you can assume it's not sherry cask. If it's not sherry cask, you don't have a problem. And even if it is sherry cask, if you work through the cheshbonos that we worked out tonight, there might be some sniffim lahakil to be able to drink even sherry cask wine that says on it clearly, sherry cask.